is episode 373 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity, ideas, and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of July 12th through July 19th, 2024. What's new this week? Anarchist newspaper Blessed is the Flame, issue number 2 from Blessed is the Flame, espivblogs.net. A rare thing, a continuing publication out of Greece, anarchist and nihilist, looking for help with getting it translated into more languages. Quote, "We are at the doorstep of a new geopolitical order of things and a new technological and industrial revolution, i.e. in a phase of history where global power relations are changing again, and therefore there is a need to have a bridge of communication between affinities from all latitudes and longitudes, since despite the peculiarities of each place, the enemy remains the same, the system of domination called civilization." Unquote. So it's anarchist, nihilist, and anti-civ. There's plenty worth quoting in the editorial here, in my humble opinion, and while I will continue to be mildly disoriented by the name of this publication, I look forward to the conversations that it starts and continues. That was Anarchist Paper, Blessed is the Flame, number 2.
Announcing the second annual Sacramento Anarchist Book Fair, from It's Going Down. Okay, people, it's not so-called Sacramento, it is Sacramento. For fuck's sake. The city of Sacramento doesn't have some history that was papered over by a new name. It started out as a colonialist thing, and it remains that. But I am doomed to stupid fights about jargon, and apparently I'm taking you all with me. Anyway, no mention of it being a safe space of any sort, so that's one jargon raft sidestepped. But masking is mandatory, so maybe that's the updated version? I guess we'll find out. September 7th in downtown Sacto for tablers, workshops, and to listen to Eric King as a featured speaker. Hope he's doing well. More info about how to table, accessibility, posters to print and put up, etc. is provided.
Spy cop who led Special Branch admits wrongly accusing activist of bomb plot, from the UK Guardian. This is from a decades-old case, and it's a little fun just because it's so unusual, and also because the wrongly accused activist sounds so done. Quote, he added, "I don't believe I've ever been to Aldershot, and I certainly never would have been wrecking a place for whatever he's accusing me of." Unquote. Let's all memorize those words and use them whenever we're accused of anything.
Black Flag, Anarchist Review, Summer 2024, issue out now. From Anon at blackflag.org.uk. Black Flag announces that this year they will have issues with themes, each one on a different historical anarcho-communist. This one focuses on Emma Goldman, explicitly emphasizing not her feminism or her biography, but her communist anarchist. Quote, unquote. Quote, "We include many rare writings from Goldman, most of which are reprinted for the first time since their publication. While the collection Red Emma Speaks is good, an anthology of her writings edited by an anarchist is well overdue. This would help place her in the mainstream of communist anarchism she actually was in, something usually obscured by previous writings on her, which concentrate more on her admittedly eventful life or her feminism." Unquote. While it was cool to learn more about Andre Leo, a woman who doesn't get as much press, Black Flag is definitely maintaining that whole anarchism is a thing of the past vibe. Who is excited about this? Where's the application in this publication to what's happening today?
Autonomy, Anarchy, and Plastic Surgery, from interregnum.ghost.io by R.L. Elson. Interregnum says about itself, quote, "At Interregnum, we refuse to partake in this carnival of misery. We believe that we can create more, imagine deeper and further, and empower each other. Interregnum is a platform for the radical imagination, the belief that another world is possible, combined with ideas of how to bring it about." Unquote. Sounds good, right? The definition that Elson uses for anarchy is weird, but the troubling of what counts as cosmetic surgery and bodily harm is good. Most of this is basic feminism. I mean, I don't know. I've been a feminist for a long time. It seems basic to me, though. Bodily modification is, of course, political because it is about making people cater to fucked up social norms of what is attractive that are based on things like infantilization, disability, and white supremacy. But moving on. Elson's final point is about the idea that women are empowered by catering to hard-to-achieve standards. Quote, "This framework of empowerment lacks evidence, further profits for the beauty industry, and extends the same expectation that women must be a certain type of beautiful. Again, this is a question of individual versus collective. For the individual, framing expectations as empowerment may provide relief against the rigid social structure. But for the collective society, it coalesces in simply another woman who falls in line with societal expectations." Unquote. Elson comes to the worthwhile conclusion that there are different metrics for individuals versus societies, but they do have a reciprocal relationship, one that we need to keep an eye on, so to speak. Could be a useful read, but the definition of anarchist is still weird. That was autonomy, anarchy, and plastic surgery.
Did you not include the definition? You're making people curious so they check it out themselves.
People will figure it out.
Like, I want to see this weird definition of anarchy.
It's not worth it, actually.
I'm combing my beard. Right into the mic. We should do some anarchist ASMR.
We should do some anarchist ASMR, but it would involve dogs, not beards.
What would make it anarchist? Can we do... Can we blow up a bomb? ASMR.
Yes!
Train to Nowhere from de.indymedia.org. A call for a week of worldwide action and solidarity against the North Bothnia Line and Northern Sapmi. August 11th to 17th, 2024. Quote, "This project is a continuation of several hundred years of brutal colonization of the peoples and lands in Sapmi. Extractive industries are thriving on the increased demand for raw materials following the so-called green transition. This makes them continually stress the importance of urgency. This makes them continually stress the importance and urgency of the train line. So do the Swedish state and the European Union. Until now, the construction process has been slow and halted several times, among others because there have been difficulties to fully finance it. But if implemented, the North Bothnia Line could be an important facilitator for the wave of green colonialism happening in Sapmi and all around the globe. Therefore, any action aimed at this railway is an attack on the entire colonial greenwashed machinery." Unquote. There's lots of background information here, and the call explicitly recommends against symbolic actions and for attack. You heard them. Solidarity.
Community Ownership and the Anarchist Path to Housing from Freedom News UK. So this story is sadly back to the Freedom News of yore, with some kind of celebration of a UK reform to enable more people to be housed. Obviously, nobody's arguing against people being housed, obviously.
You said obviously twice.
Well, yeah. After explaining the ludicrous housing situation, not too different from in the US probably, this is the thing the article is promoting in response. Quote, "The community asset transfer is a powerful and underused tool that has the potential to radically alter the landscape of housing in Britain. The process is long, but in both temporary and permanent asset transfers, the concept of shifting ownership entirely to a group of residents, users, the community itself, in which the building plays its role, offers incredible potential for rectifying these inequalities. While currently the power dynamic in transfer negotiations is weighted in favor of the state and the local council, the opportunity still exists for tenants and homeowners to take full ownership of their own building. When the unit of organization is shifted directly to the community, the potential for local needs to be met and local skills to be trained is radically increased." Unquote. So, yeah. Okay. Also, if you're playing community bingo, you will get drunk.
Call for International Week of Solidarity with Anarchist Prisoners 2024 from solidarity.international. After mentioning a laundry list of things going wrong in the world, quote, "What is to be done? With constant return, we fumble with these questions. Empathy and solidarity is the strongest medicine against the current realities we face. Empathy and solidarity is why we are here, our hearts embracing these words. We choose to share the weight of grief and take steps towards action in this fabric of resistance that has been woven through time on this earth. Is it not our yearning towards the forces of care, creation, and destruction that we gather around our fires? Is it not because we wish to understand and greet each other's pain and seek freedom from oppression that we show solidarity with our comrades who are carrying the heavy weights of repression? Unquote. I personally find the more humble appeals more appealing. But obviously, some respond more to the trumpets and the existential questions. Either way, support anarchist prisoners, for fuck's sake.
Announcing Warlike Howling Pure from Contagion Press, a new book by R.A.N. This sounds like an exciting mix of myth and anarchist thought, not limited to the Greek and Roman pantheon that are the easiest to reference for some of us. Quote, given the failure and inadequacy of secular attempts to bring about revolution, Warlike Howling Pure offers an insurrectionary and devotional approach to anarchy that expands the uprising into spiritual and religious dimensions. This book of four essays delves into the animism of revolution, suggesting its manifestation through relationship with the numinous, a divine intervention rather than a product of crass historical determinism. Unquote. People are already having opinions about this book, although it's not clear that if any of the opinions are responses to the actual book.
Anarchists in the Labor Movement, number one, from Black Rose Federation. Union organizing. Government and bureaucracies are a dead end of history. This starts a Black Rose series on labor, and it's a perfect beginning for such a thing.
Focus on Rojava from Class War at autistici.org. This announces and introduces a 20-page PDF on the continuing and changing significance of Rojava on leftist and anarchist circles in relation, for example, to the war in Ukraine. Quote, beyond this actuality, the range of issues raised by the, quote, support for revolutionary Rojava, unquote, touches on all the essential aspects of this society with which revolutionary aspiration is confronted more than ever, such as the capitalist social relation, the nature of the state, the general course towards war, unquote. I'm not sure how much to trust the analysis of a group calling itself Class War, but this seems like a thoughtful and informed article, probably worth a read. That was Focus on Rojava.
To stop the destruction of nature and society. Wait, are we trying to stop this destruction of society?
Yeah, that's a good question.
From Act for Freedom Now.
Who's we would be the other question.
Originally printed in the Anarchist Wall, a newspaper out of Greece. Apparently the catalyst for this piece are some dams on the Akaloo River. But of course, this is only one of many tips of this particular iceberg of manipulating and stopping natural flows. Quote, today the bosses are promoting plans for the further plundering of Akaloo, which, as a result, will intensify the existing impacts, but also produce new destructive consequences for nature and society. The change in the use of the land from the forest form and the agricultural activity and the water from which a large part of the population of these areas is irrigated to industrial use will transform the already burdened natural and man-made environment into a field of profit and disaster. The secondary consequences in the economy of these areas and the health of the inhabitants remain to be ascertained in the long term. Therefore, they are calculated by the state and the bosses as parameters of no importance. Unquote.
A glance at claimed illegal actions on U.S. anarchist blogs from research site isdglobal.org by Jared Holt. A creepy inside look at people who are researching us. Worth a look. One of us has requested information on Twitter, where this article was linked, about which sites were part of the study, but so far, no response.
Obituaries. Rest in power, Julian, from Anon at cgt.org.es. This is not an obituary, actually, more just an announcement of a death of this 56-year-old. The two paragraphs are more about current affairs and hardly at all about his life. I hope he gets better remembrances somewhere.
A late recognition of Larry that feels fresh 6 months on from Athens Indie Media. This is how you do an obituary. A reader can feel the grief. Quote, this is being written around 6 months after the loss of our friend and comrade Larry. It is not easy to write, and whatever may appear as a finished text will likely not satisfy the broader desire to take a moment to remember our lost comrade Larry. More than anything, I believe all of us who knew him would just rather he be here. With that said, the following is intended to take a moment to appreciate and remember our beloved lost comrade and to allow his beautiful inspiration and notorious integrity to inspire us to keep pushing forward, despite the unprecedented obstacles both locally and around the world, with his revolutionary spirit in mind. Unquote. Sorry for the loss. Sorry for those of you who knew Larry. Or anyone mourning their dead. Moving on.
Audio and video! On anarchist manufacturing and 3D printed tourniquets. From Live Like the World is Dying podcast, 56 minutes. A talk with two people from the project Distributed Medical Device Manufacturing. Not the catchiest name, but maybe they don't want people to remember it. Quote, DMDM is a small nonprofit based in Tucson, Arizona, USA. We formed as an offshoot of Mutual Aid Disaster Relief in order to begin exploring how regulatory compliant aid can be manufactured outside the existing profit-driven hierarchical medical device manufacturing industry.
Good job.
Our mission is to make high-quality, FDA-compliant CAT-style tourniquets based to ensure our communities have access to life-saving supplies in the event of trauma events and supply chain breakdowns. Unquote. There are multiple links to find more information if you want to learn how to do it yourself. Inman hosts and does their best to be a good cheerleader. While I share the enthusiasm for people deciding to do something and then doing it, the only definition of anarchist used here seems to be a horizontalist structure for the organization. We all know what happens over time when a charity group doesn't have a strong anarchist vision. These two guests are doing fundraising for a multi-thousand dollar fee that they'll pay to the FDA so that they can operate legally. Those of you who are pro building within the shell of the old, this one's for you. Anarchy is just a better way to operate a business. Yay!
Discussion with Julian Langer, part 4 from Uncivilized Podcast, 2 hours and 22 minutes. Artemis starts out strong by asking Langer what the fuck the difference is between all the goddamn books he's writing, but of course Langer has already proven that he's fully capable of responding with words regardless of whether they make much sense. Here he says, for example, that the new book is both more activist and more personal than the primarily personal takes in his previous 3 books. Make it make sense. Certain people in the collective tease me about liking to post stories in order to force me to talk about them on this podcast, and sometimes they go too far.
Was I supposed to chime in with that?
Here, assisted by Artemis, who is apparently desperate for guests. Leave it to say that Julian vomits word salad both on the page and in person, and while he does throw in some very interesting concepts and words, they're mostly just window dressing. I look forward to the day when Julian and his publishers recognize that he just wants to write memoirs and or a journal, and he stops trying to be an anarchist theorist. Those are not necessarily in conflict, but sometimes they really are. Just think, over 2 hours for this chat. Fantastic.
Barrett Brown, Hacktivist, Narcissist, Anonymous. From Cyber Dandy on AnarchyTube. 1 hour and 9 minutes. Some anarchist history of 2007 through 2012. Internet culture before Arab Spring. The time of the beginning of 4chan. And then Anonymous. And then Anonymous as a movement. This was fun as a reminder of some past life events. But then we are informed by a friend of the show, Emma Ain't Dead, that Barrett Brown isn't necessarily a reliable source or a good guy, and Cyber Dandy is thrown into a quandary he never chose. Yay for A-News being a place where these comments get shared. That was Barrett Brown, Hacktivist, Narcissist, Anonymous. Good title.
You got a friend in me. is Chichi.
And Donnie fucking don't.
And this is the topic of the week, posted on July 15th, Enemy of My Enemy.
Whether actions speak for themselves is a well-discussed topic for anarchists. In the case of Saturday's assassination attempt, many questions remain. Fools, fearing silence, speak up to provide answers in the form of voter records, clothing, financial transactions, and browser history. More positive evidence is to come. One thing is certain, a new popular enemy was born. Near universal condemnation of the act, familiar territory for anarchists throughout history, is the latest play for either political unity or rupture, depending on your newsfeed. And while assassination politics have grown more bizarre than the Russian nihilists could have ever imagined, the damned thing remains relevant for those violently opposed to the state. My enemy's newest enemy is not my friend, however, and anarchists are shit at picking sides anyhow. Do you have a new enemy or friend in all of this? Or just another spectacle to consume until it fades away? Is this a watershed moment through which history is written? No doubt as a Facebook post first. If so, how are anarchists against it on our own terms? Do you think there's anarchy to be found somewhere within electoral chaos? Or does this latest buzz only add to the incoherent, deafening noise?
Okay. Would you like to start?
Oh, I'll try to swing at it.
I'm definitely the kind of person who's more interested in looking at the situation than the person, and no doubt it's not like, yeah, the enemy of my enemy is not my friend or enemy necessarily. It doesn't mean anything. I'm jumping into things, but just like the thing that anarchists are shitting pick sides. Because I don't fucking have to pick sides. I don't want to fucking pick one side. It seems so much like a, I don't know, like Democrat or Republican. None. Like Beatles or Rolling Stones. Both, maybe. You know? I don't know. It's always like this or that. And no, it's not this or that. It's this and that and maybe neither or anyway. But I don't think that's the point of the topic.
Yeah, I mean, I think particularly with something like this where you have a single actor and they're passed away already, the idea of picking sides is pretty irrelevant. You know, if you have, like, long-acting groups in a particular situation, you know, then taking sides might become relevant, like, I don't know, like, if you're, like, the Kurds in northern Syria, right? Like, decide, like, knowing what the U.S. is doing is a thing you want to know, and knowing what Turkey is doing, you know? And I don't know if you could call it taking the U.S.'s side, but certainly being on a side with the U.S. on again, off again is a choice one has to make. But yeah, where you've just got like a single actor who did a single thing and is now dead. Like, I don't think the sides thing
is an important.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also that was not the main point of the. So I sure. Just got hang up on it. I think what the person who wrote the topic of the week was pointing was, I think, the thing of the relevance of. Elections and I think all of this, because that's with this, with Trump's assassination attempt, the question was between like, oh, I mean, I think most people know that it would be beneficial for Trump's election, but some people had the hope that maybe Trump would be killed and then there would be no Trump on the elect. So anyway, so it all end up in this thing, like who is the least worse and if it is, or if there is one that is so bad that any other one would be good. Like, if all this, if this discussion that it's that surrounds, like, the electoral thing, if that's relevant for anarchists. That's what, in the end, I got from this topic.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a question around, like, electoral politics, I think at least, like, anarchists do well to either, like, play with it or ignore it. I think the old anarchist thing of railing against it is, like, electoral politics is a waste of breath and, like, a distraction from more important projects. I think if you're going to use election season as an opportunity for some kind of, like, performance, you know, I think it's fun.
I think you need to be aware. Like, you don't need to participate on it, but because it does has a, and I'm not saying here picking sides and not saying here one is better than the other. It's just like, know what's happening around you, because the things that are going to be done, depending on who are, like, the government at the moment, it will affect anarchists in a way of or another.
Who joins you in the streets will change from day to day with an election.
Yes. And also what kind of, like, politics they are doing and what will be, like, it will affect you in some way. It doesn't mean that you have to pick up a side and say, oh, this is less worse than the other one or something like this.
Yeah, like, we were discussing an election where, yeah, the far right candidate lost, but lost with 49%. And you were saying, yeah, he lost, but what the important takeaway here is that 49% of the voters voted for this individual. And so the takeaway from this is that the country is culturally shifting hard to the right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the situation you're saying, it's not even that the country is shifting to the right. The country was never really for the left or something. It's taking a weird turn where at least, like, the right is becoming more active and more present and wanting to be more seen. And that happened from time to time, too. It's not like, oh, this never happened before. So it is an indicator of what is happening in the country. I don't know so much here in the U.S. because you don't have to, like, voting is not mandatory here. And so I'm always get a little bit confused, but walking around, you have the feeling that the conservatives and unless you live in a democratic bubble, I think you have the feel that if you walk a little bit, like a few miles from your house, you will see that there is a conservative kind of right wing thing happening here too. And yeah, and I won't be surprised. I don't think anyone will be surprised if Trump wins.
Yeah. I don't think that the incident is gonna really affect the way people vote. I honestly at
the
this
what?
The assassination attempt will affect the way people vote. I think at this point, like, everyone just knows. Everyone either knows how they're voting or not voting, and there's, like, literally almost nothing. Almost nothing that would change a voter voting for one person to another. I do think that, like, it's a matter of either, like, turning out more conservatives or suppressing conservatives or turning out more libs or, like, suppressing the libs or, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing. But I don't think anyone who was gonna not vote is gonna vote now, or anyone who was gonna vote for Biden before has changed their mind to Trump, you know. I think that's all pretty pretty sewed up at this point.
Yes. I think that one thing that people need to pay attention is just, like, how other people start reacting right now, because what I think could happen is, like, you get one of these right-wing folks and they started to use this as an excuse to, like, go more actively do something more against, like, other people that are not on his side.
But
it's just a matter of paying attention to your surroundings and see what's going on and to see how you're going to move into this.
Yeah, I think we lucked out that for all the evidence available at this point, it seems like he was more of like a Columbine kid who was just like, school shootings don't make the news anymore, you know, time to level up, as opposed to like a political actor. Because yeah, definitely when it first happened, I think we were all bracing for like federal door kicks, and that seems so far to not be manifesting, which is pretty great.
A political act usually has like some manifest or something attached to it, like just the shooting, it feels that's something that I did not think about before, and I think it's interesting for me. There was no, so as far as I know, no post on social media, no letter to the news, no nothing. He just went there and shot Trump.
Some real taxi driver shit.
So yeah, that's an interesting point, but I think with the situation thing, what is interesting for me, it's because like when, and I'm not comparing people, just not comparing the anyway, so when there was the 9/11 thing, what was really important, like, for me to think afterwards, because that was something that affected the whole world, was the response in about that. You know, there was like the thing that happened in New York and the Pentagon, but the thing is that the response was not just here in the US. The response was like worldwide, at least the Western country response. Like I remember it was globalization era, and like the policing and the protests became much worse. So that's, I think, what I'm interested in knowing about. So what will be the responses right now? I remember talking to some friends and they were afraid, like, not afraid, but they were concerned if the FBI would start knocking on some people's door, even though like the news have been telling over and over that this was an isolated kid that had no connection with anything. But still, you suddenly you have like more security around the candidates, and is it going to like bleed into other, like, is it also going to be an excuse in general, like, just to raid people's house, to do things like that, and always like, oh, we don't know when the next shooting is going to happen or whatever.
Well, and certainly, I think if there were going to be any protest shenanigans in Wisconsin, that pretty much put the kibosh on them immediately.
Yeah.
So, in that way, yeah.
Yes. I did not have time this time, and I apologize for that. I don't apologize for that. I'm not sorry. But, I'm curious to know. I didn't have time to read the comments, and lately I've been seeing some interesting comments, and I wonder if you read them and if there was something that caught your attention.
I mean, maybe I'm like too steeped in discourse normally or whatever, but like I don't know, the comments were all basically like, we don't know anything about this yet, or what we do know just points to like a kind of non-political actor, and then banter about assassination politics in general. So
mostly
there were 61 comments, and okay. I wasn't trying to read all that. No,
this week was that was what I was trying to apologize. Really, just like it's not even that I like or dislike the comments. It's really like I. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I think one thing I want to point, I maybe go parallel in this discussion, is this thing of how, and I'm not sure if it's a US thing, and if it is, it's also happened in other places too, maybe by influence, I don't know. But this thing of focusing always on the person and how that would, and the point, because the other day I was, and that's where I'm pivoting a little, but I think it's not completely apart. I was reading some things of like accountability and what's the name of that? Doesn't matter. But I was thinking, and also I went to a gathering when people were mentioned abolitionism, and they mentioned like we don't need to discuss it because everyone knows what it is. And I absolutely disagree with that, and because I don't think people here even agree what abolition is. And one thing that strikes me is because I grew up into an abolitionist that had to do with like how you don't make it about a person, but you look at the situation, and that's like how you dissolve the thing of like the victim and the
perpetrator.
This word, so the abolitionist that I know, it's like when you don't go for it, like when you look at the situation, because then you can see the context, you can see, okay, so we need to take into consideration that there is this way, this group or this society related, I don't know, to women or to children or to, so you take other things in consideration, and then because you know to, if you're not going to fix this situation, you need, there's a lot of other things you need to take care of for things like that, these don't happen again. And also like punishing one person there won't not fix anything, it will maybe even reinforce this thing. And so so I was looking at this and it was in a radical space and talking about accountability, and it always feels to me that it's just like another way of reproducing the criminal justice system that already exists, and that's the one that I fight against, because you still like focus on the person. And when I read these things like, oh, this person, is it, which it still feels for me like you're focusing on the person, you're not focusing, and it's not, the person is kind of a product of all this, you're not looking, so okay, what is around, what is connected, what is the situation, that's what is important, and more, like some situation, and that's the thing of the enemy or enemy of whatever. Yes, some situations will be, oh, this, I don't even know this person, I don't know, but this thing is actually, it has this effect that is very interesting for me. So I will stop judging that I really dislike that person or whatever, but what they did, what the situation they created is a situation that is interesting. It doesn't mean that I need to like that person or agree with what they do and what they think, but I need to take into consideration that that act, it is in some way interesting for me or not. It's just, I just want to take this moment to think about like, yeah, it doesn't really matter how much you know about the guy who did it. It doesn't really, I mean, it's interesting for other reasons, but not for the anti-political reason or like, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting maybe to understand what this society is producing, but not like, is this like, am I in on his side or not.
Right. Well, no, I think usually people's rush to find out about the person is to find out who's going to be blamed for it and to brace for that, right? And so, like, after the Oklahoma federal building got bombed, like, initially Arabs were being blamed, and then it turned out to be some white dude from Appalachia, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, so now the militia movement is going to suffer a mild level of repression. And then, like, after 9/11, right, when it turned out that it, this time it was Arabs, like, you know, our government and, like, large portions of the populace turned on them. And similarly to, like, when Chalgash shot McKinley and, yeah, like, got, you know, and anarchists were deported. And so, I mean, I think that's why people are a little obsessed with it. It's just, like, this race to figure out who's going to get blamed. Not even because anarchists, for example, or even like Jewish people or Arabs, like, think someone should be blamed, but just because someone is going to get blamed and everyone wants to figure out who that's going to be so they can figure out if it's going to affect them, basically. And I don't think that's an American tendency. Like, the one I was trying to look up while you were talking is like the Dreyfus affair in France that, like, blew back super hard on the Jews. When the nihilists in Russia blew up the Tsar, some of them were Jewish, and so it, like, initiated a series of pogroms and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think it's
only important in the sense that how people are going to respond to it and how it's going to affect and how you're going to have to move around it. That's, but not so much like if he's my enemy or not my enemy in this sense. And what is interesting, you mentioned like the things that exploded and they were blaming the Arabs. It also is an interesting thing because it tells you how society is perceiving, like, okay, so first thing we blame the Arabs.
I mean, in the U.S. every time.
Yeah,
yes.
I know. Yeah, but it's something that tells more about like what, how is maybe to be an Arab in the U.S. society.
Yes.
That it sucks.
Yeah.
And
even beyond layers of that, we blamed Afghanistan, which is a weird move when all those dudes were from Saudi Arabia. But
yeah,
I can unpack that some other time.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. What else do you think there was interesting in the?
I think, like, just speculating wise, like, I think, like, when it comes to assassination politics, I think there is, like, different considerations. You know, I think, like, when Kaczynski was on his tear, a lot of the people he was targeting were, like, highly skilled, highly knowledgeable people that were, like, contributing to particular things. And so it wasn't entirely a fear campaign. It was, like, could have actually set certain industries back because, like, amassing that kind of knowledge is very time-consuming. For political stuff, normally I do think of politicians as being entirely interchangeable. And maybe this is, like, one thing that was in the comments, was just that, like, your average Democrat is totally interchangeable and your average Republican is too. Trump might be unique in this way that I think it doesn't really seem like any other Republican, like, has the riz to do what he's doing right now, to, like, step in. And so it actually, I think, if it had succeeded, you would see, like, a really terrible, backlash is the word, because that guy wasn't one of us. But I mean, like, things would be really fucking tense right now and bad stuff would be happening. But it might ultimately actually take the wind out of the sails on that, because it is such a cult of personality as opposed to just like a generic politician.
Yeah. I mean, but isn't it something, it is kind of common between, like, in Republican, it's kind of funny, like, because you had Reagan that was an actor, I mean, Schwarzenegger is not president, but he was the, you know, there is this, I feel like between Republicans, there's always this thing, like, kind of Hollywood thing, or
Yes. Not to give Democrats undue credit, but yes, Republicans like to hire actors. It's definitely a dimwit move.
Yeah. And it's an interesting choice always. Like, I mean, Trump is different in this sense. If I think about Reagan and Schwarzenegger, there is like this macho character that was like super powerful and saved the day or something. And Trump is just like the reality show guy who has, well, he's a hero in the sense of the money thing. Even though like his business seems like not to be doing that well, and he was actually not, anyway. But it doesn't matter what he is, it matters what he appears to be, and he appears to be what people want. I don't know.
I think because it was a non-serious event at this point, I think the political ramifications are kind of going to be like a no harm, no foul situation. Like, I actually think it's going to pass. Other than the iconography that comes out of it, of that photo with him with his fist up and stuff, I think it's not, it's kind of, it's going to be kind of a nothing burger.
Nothing burger?
Yeah. Just nothing.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. See, can you take a look at the topic of the weekend? I just want to see the last questions, if there was something in the end that I would like to, that I'm forgetting.
Do you have a new enemy or friend in all of this, or just another spectacle to consume until it fades away? I feel like I've got a spectacle to consume until it fades away. Is this a watershed moment through which history is written? If so, how are anarchists against it on our own terms? Do you think there's anarchy to be found somewhere within electoral chaos, which was one of the things I started on? Or does this latest buzz only add to the incoherent, deafening noise?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with incoherent, deafening noise.
I'm leaning towards that, too. I feel like I would have to give more thought on it, but for now I'm going to lean towards that.
I feel like for as long as I thought that it might have political blowback on people I knew, I was interested, and then as soon as it looked like it wasn't, I was no longer interested.
I'm interested in see what the next few years will look like here in the U.S., I was here when Trump was president before, but I was in a bubble. But that also, but I was in some way affected, which I don't want to discuss in here because I don't want to give too much information. But I was not affected as people would expect, and that was interesting for me. And anyway, I'm curious, kind of a morbid curiosity to see how things are going to play, but also not afraid, like, we've been to shitty situations before we fought, and we've been to shitty situations in, like, a theoretically very democratic environment, and it was shitty for anarchists anyway, so just waiting, just curious, see what, how fun it will be.
Is that a wrap?
I do not have any more thoughts, or fortunately for whoever is listening.
Yep. All right, have a great night, y'all.
Yep.
Donnie fucking don't.
Oh.
Signing up with...
Okay, no, just one thing that is not connected specifically with this topic of the week, because I've been, and no one asked me to do that, but I'm doing it anyway. Because there is the thing on A-News of asking people to send recordings. And I wonder if people are, I don't know if they're sending, because I'm not in that part, but I assume not, because anyway, but yeah, if people are afraid they're going to be tracked or anything, I think it's very, like, not more than writing a comment on internet, like any comment, you are as trackable as, and yeah. And anyway, and even like this thing, oh, but my voice is recognized. Your voice is recognizable for people who knows you very well, and even though not always. But also your writing is, so in that sense, I'm just like putting out there, it could be fun, like just, yeah, send voice message. It can be, I don't know. It would also be interesting, like, to hear, in, for me, from my perspective, it would be interesting to hear voices instead of reading. It's different. Okay, so I did the ad that I wanted to do.
Nice.
And that's all.
Fantastic.
Okay. Bye. See you or listen or whatever.
See you next time.
Yeah, that.
This week's podcast was sound edited by DJ Guacamole, a.k.a. Rossi Audio Sec. The What's New is written by Chisel and read by Chisel and...
Needles. It's my necromancer for this season of Diablo 4.
All right. We hope this podcast is useful to and fun for anarchists and the anarcho-curious.
Not the character from... Who was Needles? Back to the Future?